Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Cluster of colonies caught between a great ocean and a vast wilderness. It was home to an incredible people with a revolutionary idea that they could rule themselves, that they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world.
Hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our prayer program, and where we reflect on things that are going on in our country and bring them to before the throne of God in prayer. We want to bring you also and all your prayer needs before the throne and invite all of you to pray for all the rest of us. So to help that process, please feel free to leave prayer intentions in the comments, along with any other comments you want to make or questions. We welcome that. So let's put prayer intentions in there so that we can know how to pray for you. And I just want to reflect tonight on some of the things going on right now in America for which we have to pray, things that we're all very aware of, but that perhaps we can specify a little bit more and bring before the Lord. I want to start with 1 Corinthians 12 and talk about the gifts that God bestows on each of us in different ways for different works and ministries and forms of service. Now, in regard to spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. You know how when you were pagans, you were constantly attracted and led away to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that nobody speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom. To another, the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, mighty deeds, to another, prophecy, to another, discernment of spirits, to another, varieties of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing each of them individually to each person as he wishes. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all of the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now then, after speaking about the different parts of the body, how they're all different, but they're connected and they're all necessary, Paul goes on to say this: you are all Christ's body and individually parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. Now, so I read this from 1 Corinthians 12 tonight to help our prayer, because we pray for the nation, we pray for the church, and we pray for all the various people in it. I'm going to make some comments about various people here tonight. And one of the things, first of all, if somebody does a good job exercising a spiritual gift, let's say teaching and preaching, for example, or people sometimes say about a pastor, oh, that was inspiring a sermon, or maybe he has the gift of administration, and oh, look how well he's doing, growing that church or getting more people to come. And then they jump to the conclusion that he must be holy, that he must be really close to God. And that doesn't necessarily follow. The exercise of the gifts that God gives us is an exercise of gifts given for the building up of the body, Scripture tells us. The gift is given to us for the sake of building up others. And it's quite possible, and it happens quite often, that someone is exercising the gifts, the works of the Spirit are happening through them. But that doesn't constitute their own closeness to God. What makes somebody holy? What constitutes their closeness to God? Their obedience to him. And that's something different. So just because a member of the clergy is doing a good job, don't think that that means that everything is right, you know, in the realm of the spiritual life. Not that any of us are judges of that anyway, but it's just important to know that distinction. We apply it, first of all, to ourselves. We may be able to exercise great gifts for the building up of others, but as far as the building up of ourselves and our own staying on the path of keeping the commandments, well, that's what it involves, our own doing of the will of God and keeping those commandments. The other dimension of this, of course, is that there are many different roles given, not only in the church, but also in the nation, also in the government. Different people called to be in different positions to carry out different ways of service. And one of the things for which we need to pray, and about which I'd like to pray now, that those who are called to various positions will be suited to those roles. Sometimes we put the wrong people in the wrong places. You know, it's been said for a long time in Washington, D.C., personnel is policy. You want to know what direction policy is going to go? Look at what people are sitting behind which desks. Personnel is policy. You put people in different offices, give them different responsibilities, and they end up steering the ship in the direction that they want to steer it. Personnel is policy. You get the wrong personnel in there, you're going to get the wrong policies. You're going to get bad and corrupt policies. You want to clear up bad and corrupt policies. One of the key paths to that is putting in the right personnel. I want to speak to you a little bit about that after we pray here, but let's turn to the Lord. Father, we rejoice tonight that you have called us to be part of the body of Christ. Individually, members of it, all filled with the same Spirit, even though we are all different in our talents and in the roles that you give us. May we receive, first of all, the gifts that you give us for the building up of the body of Christ. May we use those gifts effectively. May we use them faithfully. May we reach and help and serve many others thanks to our response to the gifts you give us. Lord, may this be true in the church. May it also be true in the nation. May it be true in civil government. First of all, Lord, some of us, you call to the vocation of public service, running for office, serving in public office, whether at a local, state, or federal level. This is a vocation. This is a calling. And we ask that those who have that calling will be enabled to hear it and be empowered to respond to it faithfully. Lord, for all those who are selecting people to be in different positions in public office and in the church, we ask your wisdom, your guidance. Lord, so many mistakes are made when we put the wrong people in the wrong positions. Guide us with more light and wisdom. And Lord, when the wrong people are being nominated for a particular position, let your people rise up, and to the extent that it is possible for them, let them prevent that, or let them at least speak against it if they know that it is wrong. Give us the right people in the right positions with the right gifts, and keep us faithful in exercising them. We pray in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. Now, when we talk about elections, we often make the point that you don't just put into office the person whose name is on the ballot and the person for whom you're voting. When it comes to elections, you're electing a whole team of people. When you elect a president, well, you're also making a decision that influences what kind of people are going to be in the cabinet and what kind of people are going to be in all sorts of other positions throughout the federal government. We're not only talking about positions that require the approval of the president himself. We're talking about positions that are going to be filled by people basically of the same mindset because they're of the same party. They're pursuing the same political platform. And so once you choose a president, you've set the direction for what kind of people in thousands of positions are going to be placed into those positions. Same thing is true on a smaller level. If you think about a Senate race or a House race or a mayoral race or governor's race, you're electing a whole team of people. And everyone on that team is basically going to be in the same ideological direction. I mean, look, they're going to be either left or right. And some within those circles are going to be worse than others. Some within those circles are going to be better than others. But you've basically decided the direction when you've decided the person at the top of the ticket, whatever that ticket might be. So we see that unfolding now. One of the things, you know, we prayed hard during the election, and then we saw what unfolded, and now we see Biden destroying the country through incompetence or worse. But there's a lot going on just underneath the surface. It's not that it's secret, but that we might not be paying attention to it. In as much as all kinds of positions in the federal government are still being filled. And I just want to bring to your attention one of them. I mean, we could go on for hours talking about the different processes here and the confirmation processes of different people. But let me just read this bulletin that came across my desk yesterday. The Senate returns next week, okay, and will soon consider a woman by the name of Catherine Lehman to serve as the Assistant Secretary for the Office of Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Education. Now, again, that kind of gives you a sense of, you know, look at all these different positions that there are. This is just one department, Department of Education, one office within that department, Office of Civil Rights, and one position, the Assistant Secretary in that office. Now just multiply that in your mind, all the different federal agencies, all the different departments, all the different divisions within those departments, all the different positions within those divisions. There's a lot of people. And some of these appointments have to be confirmed by the United States Senate. And so these senators got a lot of work to do. And part of the work is discerning, is this the right person for this right position, like we were just talking about? This person is a disaster. And see, this has got to be part of not only our prayers, but our active involvement in government, is that when we see a disaster about to happen, that the wrong person is going to be placed in a position, remembering personnel is policy, remembering that, you know, there are different roles of service, and we got to get the right people in there serving, we've got to raise our voices. And being that a lot of these positions are got to be confirmed by the Senate, if enough senators vote against these nominees, they won't get in. And that's where it's up to us. Prayer, but also communication with our senators. This is one to communicate with your U.S. senators about. Catherine Lehman, L-H-A-M-O-N. A disaster for this particular position in the Department of Education, specifically the Office of Civil Rights. Why? Because her track record shows a lack of respect for the rights of Christians. You know, religious freedom is a big, big issue that is woven in and out of all kinds of departments of our federal government. And in this case, we have somebody who fails the test because of, she has a record during her tenure. In the Education Department's official website began publishing a shame list of religious colleges and universities that had requested a religious waiver from one of the things that the Obama administration had done, where they injected into Title IX an expanded definition of sex discrimination and, creating, therefore, for a lot of religious groups a difficulty of conscience. And she acknowledged that these waivers technically are legally allowed, but stressed her support for the redefinition of sex discrimination. Now, when an administration, first of all, those kind of changes to Title IX or any of the other titles in the federal code ought to be accomplished through the lawmaking body, the Congress, not through some kind of administrative action to advance the ideology of the administration. But, you know, this person apparently has no problem with that. In other words, she takes all kinds of radical positions when it comes to these things and wants to push them rather than serve the American people and accommodate the various different kinds of beliefs we have in this country. So various groups are calling on citizens to contact the Senate leadership, particularly, of course, Mr. Schumer, and say, we oppose the nomination of this woman, Catherine Layman, for this role in the Department of Education. Action item, let's do exactly that. Let's get informed on things like this. Look this up online to get more information and put in a message to the Senate leadership that these kinds of people are not acceptable. And then to keep tuned into this kind of thing, a lot of the e-letters, newsletters, websites of groups that are following things going on in government will keep you informed of the different nominations that are underway for different positions in government. And this is an excellent way of being involved and an excellent way of praying. Let's pray now for this situation. Lord God, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit inside that United States Senate that needs it so much, especially certain members of the Senate and Lord, these committees that vet these people or are supposed to vet them, and these debates that happen and the documents that are exchanged and the hearings that are held and the questions that are asked or answered or not answered. Lord, the extreme positions that some of these people have and want to define the very meaning of human sexuality. Lord, again, we ask you, do not let people get into influential positions who are going to lead us down a road that ignores Christian morality and that ignores religious freedom. Lord, we ask you for wisdom among the senators not to allow this nomination to advance. And we ask wisdom among your people to raise their voices, be part of this process so that our senators are truly representing us rather than imposing ideologies on us. Come, Holy Spirit, come and enlighten and guide and protect us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me move on to a couple of other things going on also in the Senate. You know, we've talked to you a lot about funding for abortion And it is today. Today has been a day of pro-life action on social media with the use of a particular hashtag, Hyde Saves Lives. Now, I've talked to you about the Hyde Amendment, H-Y-D-E, the Hyde Amendment. So Hyde Saves Lives means that the Hyde Amendment, which protects and has protected for, well, since 1976, your tax dollars and mine that flow through Medicaid from going to support the killing of babies through abortion, has protected that money. The Democrats now are intent on removing it. And in these various votes that they are taking in Congress about spending, they are throwing out the window these longstanding bipartisan protections of our money from going to the baby killing industry that we call abortion. This is unprecedented. And it has taken over in the House. It's taken over. They've passed all kinds of spending measures, those various appropriations bills, as they are called. And the labor HHS, Department of Health and Human Services appropriations, covering those expenditures, has been where the Hyde Amendment has been effective. It saved 2.5 million lives over these last 40 to 50 years. And Biden said when he started running for president, we're going to get rid of the Hyde Amendment. The Democrat Party platform for the first time this past year put it in, right in the platform, that the Hyde Amendment should be done away with. And now what's happening is the battle turns to the Senate. Okay, the House has, you know, passed all these spending measures without the Hyde protections. And not only individual appropriations votes, you know, there are many different funding streams that have to be voted on. And in each case, the members of Congress have to decide, is this money going to be allowed to go for abortion or not? So it's a step-by-step battle, bill by bill. But also in the budget reconciliation process, they want to create new funding streams that are bypassing all these provisions entirely, and will have no restrictions on them for going to abortion. Bottom line is the battle is in the Senate now, and it's important to say to the senators, we want to protect our money from going for abortion, because most Americans agree with that. Even those that think abortion should be legal, which of course it shouldn't, but even those who think it should, by and large, will say, okay, but that doesn't mean you can require me to pay for it. That doesn't mean I'm giving you permission to use my money to pay for somebody else's abortion. So I just want to bring this to your attention. Continue communicating with your senators about abortion funding. Say in the appropriations bills that you approve, or in the budget reconciliation, as it's called, votes that you have on all these this money that's pouring out from the government, please don't include abortion. I do not want that. I don't believe in that. And again, on social media, a hashtag that's being used is Hyde Saves Lives. And that is a good one to check out as you continue to participate in this process. Let's pray for this too. Father, the people that have been elected to Congress, Lord God, you are the Lord of all the earth. All things belong to you, and you give us the goods of the earth to be used for the benefit of all. Lord, as these decisions are made regarding funding, the temptation is there to pour that money into the abortion industry. Lord God, free us from this. Free us from those members of Congress who would impose on us by force the ideology that our money should go for the killing of babies. Lord, for such a long time, members of both parties have agreed that Americans should not be forced to fund abortion. Lord God, we ask you to continue those protections and enlighten the minds of our members of Congress, especially now as these battles unfold in the Senate, enlighten their minds and hearts that it is wise to keep those protections in. And awaken your citizens, Lord, even those who call themselves pro-choice, even those who call themselves Democrat, in large numbers oppose taxpayer funding of abortion. May they raise their voices. May they see the danger in front of us. And may they communicate with their elected representatives on this point. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. And finally, friends, let me just read you a couple of polls that you may have seen. We can pray about this too. Just on Friday, a poll revealed that the majority of Americans, this should be no surprise, hold President Biden responsible for the deaths of the 13 U.S. service members and 170 Afghans, this situation in Afghanistan, which continues to be a big embarrassment and worse for our country. 53% blame Biden for this, 38% blaming him a great deal, and another 15% a good amount, as the survey said. Only 21% said not at all. I don't know what they think is going on or what planet they're living on, but okay. This mirrors the 52% of respondents who disapprove of the way Biden handled the withdrawal. And this is in the context of an overall serious decline in the approval rating of Joe Biden. A majority disapprove of his job performance, 51%. 9% somewhat disapprove, 42% strongly disapproving. Now, according to Real Clear Politics, we see similar numbers. 49% of Americans disapproving of his performance, only 45% approving. 1 month ago, 50% approved and only 44% disapproved. So you see the direction that his approval is going, sharply downward. 4 months ago, the polls were saying 54% approved and only 41% disapproved. So things are going in the downward direction. And again, shouldn't be surprising. And we saw, by the way, on the ground, you see this on the ground. Did you see where he went to one of the areas affected by Hurricane Ida and the workers on the road as the motorcade went by turned their backs? It goes to show that's the on-the-street manifestation of what these polls are manifesting. Let's pray. Lord God, your people are speaking. Your people are speaking in the streets. Your people are speaking at events. They are speaking up at school board meetings. They are speaking up in the legislatures. They are speaking up online, on TV and radio. And Lord, they're going to be speaking up soon in the voting booth. We ask that this trend, whereby people are awakening to the fact that this country is being led in the wrong direction under this administration, we ask that this trend will bear even more fruit, in the sense that the dissatisfaction of your people, O God, will not cause them to be wrapped up in anger and negativity, but rather will cause them to stand up and speak up and do what needs to be done within the framework of what you have given us, Lord, our political process, especially our upcoming midterm elections. Lord, make it real that we change the leadership in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, that 2022 be a tremendous victory on both fronts, that the people that you have blessed with this great nation of America may indeed take this nation back into their hands, rescue it from the tyranny and the moral filth and the incompetence of our current moment, and set it on a path back to honoring and glorifying you. We ask all this through Christ Jesus, our Lord, and we pray in the words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Well, friends, bless you. Thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. And meanwhile, let's all continue to pray for one another as we also pray for America. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Follow me on social media. Follow Right Side Broadcasting as well, RSB Network. And you see on the screen, FR Frank Pavone. Stay connected with us. And may the Lord bless you and your families and always keep you in his care. Amen. Talk to you soon.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.